And welcome to the Hoosier Pigskin Podcast. Thanks for joining us for another episode. Well, last week we said the sky is not falling on Indiana football, but now I think it probably is. In case you didn't hear, IU loses to Minnesota 38-31. They fall to 4-5 on the season, just 1-5 in Big Ten play. So this was a Friday night game, and the Hoosiers just came out flat pretty much. I guess I shouldn't say completely flat because they did score 3 field goals on their first 3 possessions, but defense did. It just was not good early on. So I'm not really sure. Was it because it was a Friday night game, you know, a little different than the Saturday? As we look at reasons why they would be this way, we were expecting them to play well in this game, hoping they could pick up a win. Was it because they were coming off of another emotional loss to Penn State? They never played in that stadium before. So who knows? There was a number of factors that could have contributed to Indiana not playing well. But whatever it was kind of a disappointing loss to be sure. Now, Indiana did put some really good drives together in the fourth quarter, but by that time it was a little late and time kind of ran out. They scored 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to tie the game at 31, but then they give up a 65-yard touchdown that on one play drive, 67-yard touchdown, Minnesota, and that was the final dagger that finished him off. Peyton Ramsey gets sacked on their last possession, fumbles the ball, and that was the end of the game. So when you look at the different things that contributed to this loss, I think it comes down to a number of things, but one of the big ones being they started out in the game 3 straight possessions ending in field goals. They had the ball, I believe, at the Minnesota 12-yard line. It was like a 4th down and 2. So 3 times they got the ball down pretty close to the end zone and were unable to put it in. And then the defense, another disappointing performance. They still got 4 turnovers, which is excellent. You force 4 turnovers in a game, you should have an excellent chance to win. But they still gave up 482 yards on offense, 38 points. So while the turnovers were good, they were not enough. And part of that was on the offense, 3 turnovers by the offense as well. But the defense definitely leaving things on the field to be desired. And if you're looking for a bright spot in all of this, I guess the one thing you can look at is this is a young team, a young defense. When you look at the inconsistency, the ability to create turnovers but still giving up yards, there's a lot of young guys who play on that defense. I know this is one of the youngest teams in the country, so that is something to keep in mind. They play a lot of freshmen on both sides of the ball. And just in general, on the team overall, both their running backs are freshmen. Their tight end is a freshman. Reese Taylor, a name we hear a lot in special teams and just different things on offense, he's a true freshman. Michael Penix, obviously out for the year now, but he's a freshman. So, you know, a disappointing season so far for the Hoosiers for what we had hoped and envisioned for them, especially after that great start. But this is a young team, and hopefully they can build on experience going into next year. So that being said, we take a look at this game. IU's first 3 possessions were field goals, and they did not score again until the fourth quarter. Now, they do score 3 touchdowns on 4 possessions in the fourth quarter. They had more than 4 possessions, but there was a 4 possession span where 3 of them were touchdowns. They get all the way back. They got 2-point conversions on 2 of those. They tie the game at 30-31. Before those 3 touchdowns through the second and third really the second half of the first quarter all the way through the second and third quarters, Minnesota pretty much just dominated. One of those touchdowns that they had in the third quarter was set up by a Minnesota turnover. However, three second half turnovers for the Hoosiers, all three of their turnovers were in the second half. That's just way too many when you're trying to come back from a 31-9 deficit. Because it was, maybe it wasn't 31-9, but it was at least 28-9 or 24-9. And coming back from that, you can't turn the ball over three times. It does speak, though, to how good this offense is that you're still able to come back in spite of giving up three turnovers. And Minnesota had a couple turnovers in there as well. I think they had back-to-back where Minnesota turned it over and then IU, and then IU turned it over and then Minnesota in the second half. So definitely some sloppy football on both sides of the ball. And the sad part in the turnover is the sad part of the turnover battles are this is the third game IU has lost that they have won the turnover battle. And if you're winning turnover battles, you should be finding ways to win those games. And yet IU has, I think the difference is when you look at that, IU has not capitalized on the turnovers of other teams, and other teams have capitalized on IU's turnovers. So if you get four turnovers, it doesn't matter if you go three and out on that possession and don't do anything with it. So IU has got to find a way to turnovers into points. So not capitalizing on the turnover margin is a big issue for IU. When we look at the numbers, some numbers, Peyton Ramsey, 29 of 44, 232 yards, two touchdowns. Those all look great, but again, two interceptions. So too many interceptions for Ramsey. And Ramsey is definitely a great playmaker, definitely a general on the field. But I would not be surprised when we look at this next stat. Only 5.3 yards per pass, and they opened up the game in the second half. Several big plays in the passing game that were part of them coming back and tying the game. Early in the first half, he was only averaging 2.9 yards per pass. And I'm not sure if that's the offensive coordinator, the coaches, or if that's Ramsey's fault, who that's on. But they have got to find a way to get him throwing the ball down the field more. And if he's not good enough to do that, I think starting next year we do see Michael Penix in that starting quarterback role. Because we saw last week against Penn State that he was able to stretch the field and gun the ball deep down the field. And I think it's become evident this season that IU has to be able to do that to win games. So I think Ramsey's a great leader. I think he's definitely a great playmaker, definitely. And he's only a sophomore, so he can definitely improve and continue to grow in his role. But the deep threat has to be there for this Hoosiers team to have success. Moving on to running back Stevie Scott, he had 18 carries for 96 yards and a touchdown, so another good game for him. It's nice to see that he does seem to have fully come out of that funk that he was in for a couple games earlier in the season coming out of Ball State. So that's good. He is actually on pace for 1,000 yards. So that would be really nice to see a true freshman running back hit that 1,000-yard marker. And hopefully a lot of big games for him in the Hoosier jersey in the next few years. Donovan Hale and Luke Timian led the receiving core. They each had around 50 yards apiece. Hale with the touchdown there. So one thing you couldn't really see coming, though, in this game was the Minnesota QB, Tanner Morgan. He was the backup to their other quarterback who went down with an injury last week. Both of these guys are freshmen, but Morgan had a tremendous game. He was 17 of 24, 302 yards passing, three touchdowns. And this was his first college start. So he was excellent in the first half, which was a big part of Minnesota being so good on offense, he only had one or two incomplete passes in the first half, and he was just on fire. And I don't know that that was something anyone really expected going into that game, him being so successful passing the ball. So to sum it all up, IU's offense just wasn't good enough for three quarters. Obviously, the fourth quarter, they scored three touchdowns. But before that, just three field goals, all of them early. That's not good enough. The defense gives up way too many yards. Just one sack, three tackles for loss. So this defense has to be better. They've got to find their identity. And maybe it's just a lot of these young playmakers going through growing pains and just learning the process and maybe hitting some freshman walls there. They do have experience, some experienced guys on this defense who should be able to keep it going, but IU's definitely going to have to see much improvement from their defense going in against their next game versus Maryland, because Maryland is a 5-3, a very dangerous team. Just heard today that they're getting their head coach back, DJ Durkin, who had been suspended because of the Jordan McNair incident. And they can score points. They can score a lot of points. So this IU defense, thankfully they have a bye this week. Maybe get some guys healthy that are banged up and hopefully really work on some schemes and get this defense to a level where they can get back home and beat Maryland next week. So I think IU's bowl chances are definitely looking slim right now. Obviously, you have two must-win games. You have to win two of your final three. You've got number 5 Michigan on the road. Probably not going to get a win there. So you're looking at Minnesota and Purdue at home. Both of these extremely dangerous teams. We've seen how good they can be. And so Indiana is going to have to play their best football of the season at home. They cannot leave anything for granted against Maryland and Purdue. They cannot have a performance like they did last year against Purdue. They have to give it all this year, because if you go 5-7 or even 4-8, that is an extremely disappointing season. And I think it leaves next year for Coach Allen to prove what he can do, because that it's just going to be, I think, with the schedule IU had this year and the expectations coming in, no one is going to be happy if this team does not make it to a bowl game. So hopefully with the bye week this week, they can get things rolling and get forward to that. One interesting note I saw, a college football playoff poll just came out this week, the first one for the selection committee. The Virginia that IU beat earlier in this year is ranked number 25th in that poll. They are 6-2 on the season. And this is something I wanted to bring up because of IU's schedule. Virginia is 6-2 on the season. They are number 25 in the college football playoff poll. They have only played one ranked team all year. It was number 16, Miami. I'm not even sure if Miami is ranked anymore. And they played them at home and they beat them. They lost to NC State, who was not ranked at the time. And then they lost to IU. So basically they have not beaten anyone of any significance. They have a win over Louisville. Louisville's terrible this year. And then when you compare that to IU's schedule, they have played Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Iowa. All four of those teams are in the college football top 25. They've played Virginia, who they beat. They're in the college football top 25. So when you look at the fact that IU has played 5 teams in the college football selection committee's top 25, Virginia's only played one, and yet Virginia gets to be in there and IU does not. Obviously, IU has not proven that they should be in there, but if IU had played Virginia's schedule, I do believe IU would probably be 6-2, if not 7-1. Possibly even undefeated, I guess, if you flip that Virginia game around to IU playing Virginia. So it's just a tough thing for IU playing in the Big Ten East, because you have such a rugged schedule. And hopefully the Hoosiers can figure out moving forward here a way to compete and be successful every year in the Big Ten East. All right, We're just going to give you an apple cart pick right away here quickly. We are going to come back next week with a preview of the Maryland game, a little shorter podcast this week. So last week we had Northwestern pick to knock off number 20, Wisconsin, and they did. Northwestern wins 31-17. I believe they were an entire touchdown underdog to Wisconsin. I forget exactly what number we had on that. So our picks were now 5-3. This week we are going with Wake Forest. They are a 5-point underdog to number 19 Syracuse. They are playing them at home, and we've got the Demon Deacons over the Syracuse Orange Men. Thanks so much for listening to this week's podcast. We appreciate it. Make us one of your favorite podcasts. Please share us with a friend and get the word out. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in and listening. Have a good week.